Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Monday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio in cold Hattiesburg, Mississippi, this afternoon. Glad you're with us. It's Monday. We talk to Christian Ostrander every Monday, and we're about to do that. Golden Eagles 2-2 on the week. Win a big game midweeker against Ole Miss. Dropped 2 of 3 this weekend in an upset over at Arkansas State. Remain with the number one RPI in the country. Rankings 12 in this week's D1. 12 in perfect game. Baseball America drops the Golden Eagles to 16. They've always been kind of an outlier for some reason. And I think the coaches, Paul Dima, was around
7.
Okay. So things continue to be okay. It is a marathon, Kelly Center. It is not a sprint, right?
And you're just getting started, you know?
Yeah.
Coach Ostrander joins us right now. Coach, I know you're unhappy when you lose a weekend series, but kind of give us your evaluation of the weekend in general, if you will, sir.
Yeah, always, you know, our goal is to win series and win every one, and that's the standard around here. It's hard to do. It's hard to win every one of them, you know, but that's got to be your mentality, right? And we didn't play good enough this weekend to do that in a hostile environment. That they were ready, man. They were ready, and I'll tip my hat to them. Their Friday night guy was really, really good, and he kind of put it to us. We won the middle game and played very clean. Played a really good game on Saturday. Then yesterday, I mean, just really didn't start well. Spotted them some runs, and you know, then fighting to get back in it, and on a day that, you know, runs were at a premium. So just disappointed in our guys for not getting it done, honestly, because I think we had our chances.
Yeah, no question. And you're right about them being ready. Their announcers made it. They broke their attendance record Friday night, and then again Saturday. They talked about it being the biggest baseball series there, maybe ever. And sometimes, Coach, you just have to give the opponent some credit, don't you?
You do, and I don't discredit anything they did. They earned it for sure, and you know, and that's the margin for winning and losing is so thin that we had chances. We had some self-inflicted things that hurt us, you know. So you look at all that and woulda, coulda, shoulda. Doesn't matter, but you know, we were right there and against a really good team. I think they're gonna make some noise. And but no, they played great. We didn't, and that's what happens. And that's, you know, that's just how vulnerable we can be. And I want these guys to know that, and they understand it. They're hurting, but you know, that we're not going to be given anything. You got to go earn it.
Coach, here's the irony, I think, of college baseball. You take that game yesterday before the two errors that gave them 3 runs. Clearly, your pitcher strikes out the third batter, you know, the third out on a two-strike pitch. You don't get the call for whatever reason. The guy doesn't call that a strike. And then the next two batters come up and score on errors in the infield. So it is truly a game of inches, is it not?
Well, there's so many variables. You got judgment of umpires. You got weather conditions. You got a bad hop. You got a sun ball. You got, you know, just so many things, you know, that are out of your control sometimes. And you just got to, you know, just go and try to do what you can do and not worry about those other things. It's part of the game.
The ball bouncing back 20 feet to the catcher also is another variable that you don't always account for, Coach. I'm just curious, your overall evaluation of your offense this weekend, Coach Ostrander.
Yeah, I think it was probably our worst performance, you know, for the weekend to this date. I don't think we swung the bats like we were capable. Their pitchers had something to do with it, too. They had their lefties gave us fits, you know, and we were able to, you know, capitalize here and there on a big swing and, you know, leaving the park, I think, a three-run homer, a two-run homer throughout the weekend, and then a solo by Joey. But, yeah, they didn't give us freebies. They didn't inject any life into us, our rhythm offensively, by doing that. So we had to earn everything, and it was hard to string together two, three hits in a row.
You know, it's talked about a lot of times how hitting is so contagious, and since you have so many guys right now who are kind of in slumps, certain guys in particular, do you move anybody in your lineup, or you kind of just let everybody kind of hit out of it?
Well, you don't. I mean, there's not a whole lot of interchangeable parts, I'll be honest with you. You got to, you know, go with the horses that you expect to take you there, right? And for us to be a team we need to be, we got some guys that need to do what they're capable of doing. There's no doubt about that. And when they're not, it puts pressure on other spots as well. So, you know, the placement and stuff, you know, still trying to figure it out, still trying to figure out a, you know, definitely one spot in that lineup as well. But ultimately, you know, if we're hitting on all cylinders, we're probably not having this conversation and stuff. And we've had moments already in these first 20 games where it was flowing pretty good. But, you know, right now, this past weekend in particular, it just wasn't.
Another question about hitting, and then we'll get on to pitching. Logic would dictate then, after the results of this weekend, that other teams are going to start throwing left-handers at you, particularly in conference play. Do you anticipate that?
I would if I were them, too, after, you know, seeing that and the information that's available. You know, there's no secrets. There's no secrets. But, you know, it becomes an execution game, right? You know, a hitter sells out to a plan, an execution plan of an approach, and then the pitcher tries to sell out to execute a certain pitch. Well, if you don't execute it and leave it in the wrong spot, you know, you can punish it, and same thing goes for a hitter, too. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, Kelly.
All right, pitching-wise, I thought the number – really,
excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
I mean, really the amount of runs that were given up
excellent
earned
pitchers.
Or unearned, the pitchers, I thought, their effort should have been enough to have the results be a little bit different.
Yeah, I think you know, on paper, definitely said that. You know, we had some self-inflicted wounds that hurt ourselves, you know, defensively there. But, you know, ultimately we got to hold them down, right? You know, if we're only going to score, you know, if we're only going to score four runs, we got to hold them to three and so forth. Easier said than done. But overall, you know, I wasn't displeased, but I'm very critical of them, and I think there's some things we need to clean up.
Coach, in general terms, can you share what your message was to the team yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, just disappointed. You know, disappointed. Because that's not the standards here, you know, and it's okay to lose. I can handle getting beat. I mean, we got beat Friday. They just beat us. But I thought yesterday, you know, we gave them a lot, and we had our chances, and that bothered me. And this team's got to learn how to rise up in those situations and learn that. Every team has to learn it. And, you know, I don't know if we have yet. You know, there's just been a lot of great moments already this year, but some of those moments come when they don't have to worry. Hey, there's going to be so much energy around them because of the who you're playing, where you're playing, the environment and stuff. And sometimes you got to create your own. And quite frankly, I think against Nichols a couple weeks ago and two games this past weekend, we didn't command that enough, and we got to supply it.
Yeah, no question. And any baseball team, when you get guys at second and third and one out, you at least got to put the ball in the outfield, right, Coach? I mean, you can't strike out with runners at second and third and one out. That's a tough place to take a K, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and you know, you're trying to go for it as a pitcher. You know, when we're in that situation on defense, obviously that's what we're trying to do, go for that punch out if you can. And but it's kind of primitive, you know, competition there, man. Me versus you, I'm not going to let you win. I'm going to find a way to move this ball. But like I said earlier, easier said than done sometimes.
Dima brings it in perspective, though, in the production meeting. The team is 16-4, right, Dima?
Yeah. Well, I mean, You're still, Coach, I guess I wanted to ask you more back onto the pitching side of things if we have time before the segment ends. But Graydon Harris, of course, another dominant performance. I'm just curious if there's any thought in moving him to potentially the Friday role.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's thought. Definitely.
I guess what would go into that decision making?
Just me deciding to do it.
Okay.
That's pretty much the bottom line at Southern Miss Baseball,
like
Oz.
Short answer, I love it.
The main demon is what Coach Oz decides to do. That's the best answer we'll get all week right there, Coach. I just got to tell you.
I mean, he's always been, and I'm not going
to. He's just being honest.
And he's always said, look, everything's on the table.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's no job that's guaranteed, right? And I think guys at this level understand that, and that's what keeps the guys competitive.
That's right. There's lots of good stuff to talk about it. We're going to do that right on the other side of the break. That's a great way to start the week. I really like that. Super Talk Eagle Hour continues. Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team this time of the year is fun. Don't forget about the most important player, though, and that's you. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. We'll be right back.
You know, that's what they pay him for, Bob, is to make those decisions.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. We've got Coach Christian Ostrander on the show today. Second segment sponsored by Eagle Tire West. Former Southern Miss player Matt Warren. Invite you to see him for premium Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. All right, Coach, three Sunbelt teams in some of the polls today. Louisiana moves into the top 25. Sunbelt shaping up to be a really competitive league this year, isn't it?
It sure looks that way. Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, again, it's you want them all to do well, and you just want to beat them when you play them. But that's good to see for our league.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to ask you about before we get the guys back here to wrap up this segment, news comes out today about the – Dandy Dozen, 12 best baseball players in Mississippi. And according to this article, USM has commitments or signings from 7 of the 12. Ole Miss gets 2, Vanderbilt 1, Florida 1, and Memphis 1. But, man, that says a lot about recruiting and the attractiveness of the Southern Miss baseball program these days, Coach.
Well, that's awesome to hear, and that was a great recognition of those young men. And just a great job by, you know, assistant coaches for, you know, targeting these guys and us pursuing them and ultimately getting them. And we're excited. You know, that's our model. We invest in the high school player greatly. And there's some other ones that aren't from the state that's going to be in that class, too, that are pretty good. So we're very excited about that.
Coach Nichols, tomorrow night down in Biloxi, obviously that took that game from you guys a couple weeks ago, how do you want to see your guys bounce back after a tough series loss and also dropping a game to this team?
Yeah, I think there should be plenty of motivation from within, you know, to go play a good game tomorrow. You know, that's what you'd hope for. But I don't leave anything to chance, and we're definitely going to address some things today and practice and get ready to get on that bus and go compete and, get back in that win column in Biloxi and just in general for the next game. So, most important game of the year is the one we're playing tomorrow.
Troy this weekend at the Pete. Troy, you know, coming into the year was one of the, you know, dark horses, as you will, if you will, to win the Sun Belt. Obviously, they've had a tough start to their season, but they still have the talent to give you guys a challenge this weekend.
Well, there's no doubt. There's going to be a lot of familiar names. Their offense can be scary. You know, it's just a lot of respect, and, you know, they're going to have talented players. And I think, you know, their record can be deceiving. So we don't look at that. But then ultimately, like we talk about all the time, is it's not about who you're playing. It's just we got to go play our game and play clean and play good and play well. If we do that collectively, it doesn't matter who's in that other dugout. So, but we'll be up for a challenge and look forward to it.
Coach, I think a lot of our listeners would be interested to know how these games away – neutral site games like tomorrow night at the Shuckers Ballpark. In the past, Southern Miss has played in places like New Orleans. They've played, you know, in Jackson at Trustmark Park. What are the dynamics that go into making those decisions? And generally speaking, do you like those games?
Yeah, I mean, I think selfishly, I'd rather play at the Pete, right, than go to play at these neutral sites. But it's great for our fan base. We have a great fan base. You know, and on the coast, we have a great fan base in the Jackson area. So being able to go up there in their backyard and play a game, I think that's a good thing. I think that that's something that they enjoy, and it's good for our fans. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, it's part of it. And, you know, a lot of folks do those things. And we look forward to going down to Biloxi tomorrow night and hopefully giving our fans down there on the coast something to celebrate.
And the final question I've got is, you talk about the seven players that the Dandy doesn't. A lot of high school kids may get the opportunity to sign, you know, pro contracts right out of high school. I know that the youngster from Oak Grove who is committed to Vanderbilt, there's talk that he might be, you know, a top 15 pick in the draft. So tell us kind of about how you work plan Bs in case you happen to lose any of those guys.
Well, I think you just bring it in a big enough class, you know, when we do, or, you know, to where if you did lose some, you're going to know early enough. You're going to hear more, you know, rumblings and stuff and possibilities early enough to be able to, you know, make adjustments. But it's just part of the process. You don't ever know, just like when you're dealing with our roster for next year. We don't know what guys on our current team that could be back that will have the opportunity. It's just, you know, it's just a part of the animal that you just got to wait and see, but be prepared.
Hey, Coach, one more question before you let you go. Davis Gillespie, all-out competitor, slams into the wall late yesterday, going after a foul ball, which was showing max-out effort, of course. Is he okay?
Yeah, I think so. Just banged up a little bit, but we'll know a little bit more this afternoon once we get out there and start moving around and swinging the bat and stuff. But he appears to be, according to him, but he's very tough. And, you know, hopefully he woke up today and it felt, you know, still felt good. So we're going to know a little bit more once we get outside.
He's a dog, isn't he, Coach?
He is, man. He just plays hard and loves to play and strong as an ox and just a fine young man.
Well, on a side note, Bob, Gillespie is okay. The fence will be out 2 to 3 weeks.
He slammed it.
I think that was a brick wall.
Yeah, shit, he hit. I mean, he hit it, man. He really hit it. Hey, Coach, thanks very much. I'll see you in Biloxi tomorrow night.
Sounds good. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Coach Christian Ostrander, everybody. All right, Damon, wrap it up for us. Give us your analysis.
Well, I mean, I'm so glad you brought that up about Davis Gillespie. I mean, I'm glad he answered that, and it does sound like he does have some type of nagging thing that was at least.
I can see why.
Yeah, so that's something definitely to monitor. Yeah, I mean, it was obvious he was frustrated. I mean, I could say that just from the tone of his voice and just kind of the way he was answering some questions. And why,
especially one question.
Yeah, for real. Which, you know, I was just curious. I mean, Graydon Harris has just been lights out, and Colby Allen, while, you know, it isn't like he's done anything wrong. You know, it's just like you want your most dominant pitcher on Friday night. And I just think Graydon would be the guy at this moment. I mean,
clearly,
I don't think it's clear. I think it's clear, like you're saying, yeah. And so I'm glad he was able to. And to me, at least, from what I got from that question, is that Graydon Harris will probably be the Friday night starter this week.
I'm going to tell you what. I don't think we can get out of this segment, too, without saying kudos to a guy that was on the show this past week. Cross Sibley,
sure,
was perfect in both of his appearances this weekend.
Yeah. What did you sit down like 10 batters he faced?
He's a dog, isn't he?
Yeah.
But this is the first time this season, though, and why some people, you know, want to panic, but this is the first time this year that the pitching staff has pulled this wagon the whole season.
right? The entire season.
And they've been able to overcome some weaknesses in the batting That's department. Right. But statistically, the Eagles are near the bottom.
And I, asked both, 11 out of the I asked both of you guys for your opinion about this, and you both agreed with me in our production meeting. This hitting slump has been going on for a couple of weeks. It's been hidden by the brilliance of the pitching staff.
Yeah, so I'm saying they've been pulling the wagon. The pitching staff has.
Yeah, no doubt. When you look at the last couple of games, I mean, the Ole Miss game, 2-1, right? You had to get a walk-off in the ninth. Even the Mississippi State game, you know, a couple of the La Tech games. But
didn't dominate North Alabama with hitting.
No, you didn't. You really didn't. But again, all that to be said is, there's still that outlier in the back of my head that says, like, okay, what if Matthew Russo gets going? Like, what if Tucker Stockman gets going? Like, what if Dre Barrett, you know, just starts mashing the baseball? Then you're looking at this team going, I don't know how you beat them. So that's in the back of your head,
right.
You know, like, because of how good the pitching is.
And you can look at the current statistics and see that the Eagles are 11th out of 12.
14.
Out of 14 in hitting. But you also have to remember who they've been playing. Right, yeah, so yeah, they've been playing a much better schedule than well, the number one schedule.
Well, sure, but the last two weekends,
for sure,
North Alabama and Arkansas State, you would argue that their hitting should have been near the top of the league against those opponents. While good pitching from Arkansas State, of course, they are second in the league in ERA, but you would still think that if you claim to be a top 10 team like Southern Miss was, you should be able to hit that.
And how good is Arkansas State going to wind up being? Yeah. I mean, this might just be the beginning
there was
for their
one
ascension.
Poll they got in, they appeared in the top 25. I can't remember which poll it was now, but there was one. There's one poll that has three Sun Belt teams in the top 25. So, you know, who knows? Dima's right. Earlier, he said RPI rankings, all that. Right now, it's early in the year. That's more for guys like us to have something to talk about.
Yeah, it's for the fans.
Then, what is the players and coaches think? I believe.
Yeah. The thing with RPI that you can look at is strength of resume and strength of record, which Southern Miss currently still is number two and number three in those regards, which is really good for all the people who are saying, oh, well, there goes the chance to host since they lost a series to Arkansas State, which is just so dumb. Like, that's just people who just are admitting they don't know how college baseball works, number one.
Right.
So right now, they're still in a really good position to host a regional, if not still get a top eight seed.
To Kelly's point about the pitching, the team over the weekend hits 225, 29 strikeouts, 6-23 with runners in scoring position, and they came that close to winning the series.
Game of inches.
Game of inches.
You just said it.
Right. Maybe win the series if the wild pitch doesn't bounce off the wall right back into the catcher.
And
you may win the game.
There's where you talk about home field advantage, because the Arkansas State catcher,
he knew
exactly it was going to bounce back to him. He's seen it time and time again. But you can't fault the Eagle coaches for sending the runners.
You got to
send. The only questionable no-send send was Higdon rounding third on that double from Morrison. I think in that scenario, send them. I don't know, but I'm not going to question it. Who knows?
Bottom line is, you get runners at second and third and one out, and your
twice.
Next guy cannot strike out.
You had it
you
twice.
You cannot strike out.
Just put it in
back
play.
Back innings.
Put it in play, Kelly. That's exact. Yeah. A ground ball probably scores a run. A fly ball, we know, scores a run. Let's move on. Who's next? We'll kill the
Nichols.
It's Nichols.
Well, when we come back, we'll look around the league, scores around the league, but also softball. Yeah. Big series win.
Do we have to play Nichols tomorrow night?
They're coming.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show. DBAT sponsors this segment. DBAT on Hardy Street for baseball, softball training, batting cages, pro shop, all sorts of reasons to go to DBAT. We're grateful for them. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction, MCS Home Center has it all. Everything you need for your next project. They've got it out at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. It's Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks, great people. 7329 Highway 98 West, and gorgeous, we should add. It is a beautiful store.
And they now have appliances, too, Bob. So
they
keep,
do.
Yeah, they keep.
Man, they carry nice stuff.
Yeah, and they just keep adding things.
They carry this thing I'm thinking about buying. It's the outdoor flat-top grill that you can, It's like a grill you see in a cafe, let's say, but it's outdoors, butane. You could cook breakfast, dinner. You could cook whatever you want on it.
Oh, that I got to see. You cooking breakfast.
No, Angela cooks
breakfast. Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Angela cooks breakfast.
Yeah. Okay. You sit in the rocking chair, which is right next to the grill.
That's exactly correct. Yeah. Drinking cold beer. That's exactly. That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Cold beer and key lime pie. That's my favorite recipe at your house.
I've seen it with my own eyes. All right, the football schedule is out. David, what do you got there?
Yeah, and I want to say first and foremost to take this schedule as a grain of salt because it might change because Louisiana Tech appeared on the Conference USA schedule and the Sun Belt schedule.
Yeah, I read where they've got 22 games scheduled.
That's right. So they're going to have a gauntlet in front of them. So it kind of reminded me when Southern Miss was actually coming into the league. They were also on both the Conference USA and the Sun Belt schedule. It ended up being that they ended up being on the Sun Belt schedule, of course, but that schedule changed. So we're going to announce the schedule, but it could change is the caveat.
Conference USA loses again.
Losers. Alcorn State to open up the season here in Hattiesburg, Auburn on the road, Connecticut at home, and then Tulane on the road. That was the non-conference slate that everybody knew. Here is the Sun Belt slate. A Tuesday night road game at Troy. To open the conference schedule Tuesday night, Arkansas State in Louisiana in back-to-back home games, and then Monroe on the road, and then a Thursday night home game against James Madison before going on the road to Louisiana Tech, coming back home to play, wait for it, South Alabama, and then on the road for the final game of the season all the way up in Norfolk, Virginia for Old Dominion.
Is that Thursday night game a home game?
Yes, against James Madison.
Well, that'll be fun.
A couple of
Tuesday night, though. That's a little odd.
Well, that's, you know, them and the MAC. You know, this fun belt and MACtion, midweek action.
I don't like Tuesday night college football.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
You have to get the Saturday off before and the Saturday after, right, to get that Tuesday in there. But a couple of things that I like about the schedule. Number one, the final road game – or the final game of the regular season, which is the Saturday after Thanksgiving. I always like when the Eagles are on the road because I don't care if the number one football team in the country comes to the Rock the Saturday after Thanksgiving, nobody's coming. I mean, everybody just leaves for Thanksgiving. So the crowds are always small. So I'm glad
they're deer hunting.
That the season opens right about that time, right? So I'm glad that game is at Old Dominion. The other thing I like is they're not even opening the season until Labor Day weekend.
I like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, some teams are playing, you know, in mid-August now. And it's hot enough at the Rock. But the fact that they're waiting until September 5th, I like that.
Well, guys, I contend that the biggest game on the schedule is the fourth game.
And that would be the game at Tulane? Hey, how many folks do you think will Southern Miss fans will make that trip?
You're laughing, but you don't think that's an important game?
I'll be there. Let me just say that.
I'm going to be there for that. You're not kidding.
And that, of course, they're talking about Will Hall being the head coach at Tulane.
That's unbelievable.
But I think there will be. I think there will be a huge Southern Miss contingent at that game. There usually is anyway, because anytime a chance people get to get out of Hattiesburg to go to New Orleans,
God, they win the game. They could go 1-11 and win that game, and I would feel okay, I think. Just don't lose that game.
Yeah, it's going to get interesting. One thing that I thought was really interesting was, I think it's like the way the home schedule lines up, because sometimes you have a stack of home, like this past season, they had a stack of home games to start the year, and then kind of had that, like, they almost went a month without playing in Hattiesburg. But I think the schedule pans out nicely against that. You know, you almost have, like, alternating weeks where you're home away, especially during conference in the last month. You got at Monroe, James Madison at home, at Louisiana Tech, South Alabama at home before going on the road again. And I think that's great.
That's much better.
I do. I think that's much better because sometimes when they had, what, three home games in a row last season? The first three games were all at home, and then that kind of stalled the rest of the season where they had these gaps of not being at home.
I like the Cajuns playing here too. That's always exciting when the Raging Cajuns come here.
Apparently the conference isn't listening to Bob though, because on the schedule it's still just listed as James Madison as opposed to James D. Madison.
I think they just that's an oversight on their part.
Okay. A typo.
So what happens if where are they showing Louisiana Tech? Is that a conference game or not?
Yeah, conference game.
So what if they don't enter the conference? I guess it would just come on as a non-conference.
Look,
they would have to redo the schedule.
I would be shocked if they're not in the conference.
I would be very shocked too.
Conference USA because tried to pull this to Southern.
Southern Miss scheduled the Connecticut game because they thought Louisiana Tech would be in conference. I remember when Jeremy McClain was on the show, he said, Kelly, that's not right. You know, it's not official yet. And then like 3 weeks later, they scheduled the Connecticut game. So,
basketball-wise, we do know that Troy winning the Sun Belt tournament, the Troy men are in the NCAA basketball tournament. They will play Nebraska in the first round of the Southern Regional coming up this week.
Great segue there. Let me just throw this in real quick. I had about a two-hour meeting. And I'm grateful that Jay Ladner took so much time with me Friday. And when I leave here, I'm going to edit that interview in a couple of parts, probably be a two-part interview, maybe Tuesday and Wednesday. Very insightful conversation with Jay, and we talked about everything. We talked about renovation of the Coliseum, alleged shaving of points in basketball games by three former players, his thoughts about this year and his hopes for the coming season, and what they're doing now to prepare for next year, and the importance, and Dima brought this up last week, the critical importance of keeping the two juniors that were so productive, and that's goal number one. But we'll have those segment interviews later this week.
So while Troy is the only Sun Belt entry in the NCAA tournament, South Al is the only entry in the NIT tournament. I know there were some Southern Miss fans that had a glimmer of hope that the Eagles might be invited into the NIT, considering there are some teams that are in the NIT field that only have two games over 500 winning record, which Southern Miss was better than that. But no, that's it. It's all put to bed. So basketball seasons for both men and women at Southern Miss are now in the books.
Finique, as they say in France.
Finite?
Finite?
I don't know.
Give it a grade, Kelly. Men's team.
Overall grade? Mm-hmm. I'd say B.
Mm-hmm. Team?
C plus.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking B, B minus. Yeah.
I say C plus.
Why not a B, Dima?
I just think it was just another shrug of the shoulders year. That's where I feel.
Would it have been, and I know ifs and buts and candy and nuts and all that, but had Tavares not gotten hurt?
Yeah, I think you could have gotten to a B plus, A minus, because I think they had a much better seed in the tournament. And given the way they were playing down the stretch, I think they might have won the tournament, you know, if Tavares would have been playing. Because, I mean, arguably, Southern Miss had a chance to probably be the two seed with how the conference ended up shaking out, where he had a seven-way tie for second.
Yeah.
So, arguably, they would have been in that discussion. So
they got to the semis as it was. So,
and Tavares is one of those players that you're watching very closely. One thing you'll hear in this interview is that Jay Ladner did tell me that both kids have expressed to him, who's the other one? I'm sorry.
Bully Weeks.
Yeah.
Both have looked him in the face and told him, we want to stay. We want to play here. But in today's world,
every man has a number.
You got to come up with the coin.
Like, what was the wrestler? The Million Dollar Man? Yeah. Everybody's got a price.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
While baseball lost the series this weekend, the softball team takes two out of three from Louisiana this weekend, Bob.
Man, that's nice. That's a good way to start the year.
I believe that was their first ever series win over Louisiana.
It is. Yeah. It was the first series win ever. Kayla Jardina took the win in the rubber game of the match yesterday. Her record now 10-3 on the year. That was her seventh complete game on the season so far. With that win, the Eagles go 20-11 now, 2-1 in conference play.
How about that? 20-11.
And even though beating Louisiana 2 out of 3 this past weekend, to show you how dominant Louisiana has been in the past, the Cajuns own the series record over Southern Miss, still 55-7.
Well, they were nationally dominant until their coach left, and he took all their players, the bases, the bats, you know, the practice lights, everything with him to the big school, and now Southern Miss can compete.
But what's remarkable about this is this, since Coach Poole has been here, this roster is the youngest that she's ever put on the
field.
They're
off to a really good start.
They are 20-11 overall, 2-1 in the conference. Of course, they just opened conference play like the men this weekend. They will travel now. They'll take to the road this weekend. Like I said, when the men are at home, the women are usually on the road. They will travel Wednesday to North Carolina Greensboro, on their way to going to Boone, North Carolina, where they will play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against App State.
What you're saying is they're going to spend a lot of time on a bus in the next 7 days.
pluses and minuses, but those young kids, they don't. That doesn't bother them.
Young. It doesn't.
It's a road
would you
trip.
Like to have been on the bus yesterday back from Jonesboro?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And the players, I'm sure, didn't find it very pleasant
sure
either.
They were looking for rides.
Yes. Where are my earbuds?
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, our good friends at Jewel Masters remind you, if you've got some gold, some silver, some old coins or jewelry in your house, it just maybe they're out of style. Maybe you just need some cash. Nobody gives you better money for your gold, jewelry, silver than Jewel Masters. Marty Vick's been doing it a long time. They're located on Highway 98 West. They're the original jewelry store that bought and sold gold and silver. And, Kelly, you can't do business with two finer individuals than the Vicks.
And Marty Vick's kind of like the Yukon Cornelius of Hattiesburg.
How's that?
Well, Yukon Cornelius, you know, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special, he was the guy that kept throwing his ice pick in there and he's, gold, silver.
Oh, yeah, that would be Marty. Yeah. Gold, silver, old coins, old jewelry, and you want to get some cold cash, Jewel Masters, Highway 98 West. Also, I want to remind you about our podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri. I'll play it for you. And our great friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, and Mo Baby. Now, today would be a good day to go to Mo Beignet and get a hot coffee and some hot beignets, would it not?
And tomorrow morning, too.
Yeah, and tomorrow morning, too. All right, that takes care of the Bills. News and notes, Dima?
Well, let's start with scores around the Sun Belt in baseball for as far as the first conference, the first weekend for conference play. Coastal Carolina swept Arkansas State. Their record improves to 13-6, and they sit atop of the conference.
I think you meant App State.
App State, excuse me. Yeah. What did I say?
Arkansas State.
I have A-State.
A-State on
here,
the
so.
Mind, yeah.
All right, Arkansas State, there you go, beat USM 2-1. So they, you know, their record improves to 15-6. JMU swept Georgia Southern, which Georgia Southern, man, I just they're honestly inexplainable right now. They're at 5-14, 0-3 in league play, which is just stunning when you consider their history in their baseball program.
Talking to some of the folks in Statesboro, Rodney Hennen has been there. He's the dean of all coaches in the league, and some people in Statesboro are saying they think that his time is about up there in Statesboro.
Well, that would be dramatic news in the Sun Belt. Louisiana, who has entered the top 25 poll according to D1Baseball.com, beat South Alabama in a series 2-1. South Alabama took the first game, and Louisiana came back and won game 2 and 3. Marshall over Georgia State. They swept the Panthers, Georgia State, so Marshall's record improves to 11-8. Troy over Old Dominion, 2-1. Troy's record is 8-11 currently, but 2-1 in conference. That is who the Golden Eagles will play this weekend. And probably the most stunning result the whole weekend, ULM sweeps Texas State. Yes, you heard that right. Sweeps Texas State, including a run rule victory on Sunday, 16-5 over the Bobcats, who, I mean, a lot of people thought that Texas State would kind of be back this season, and ULM, a loud sweep over the Bobcats.
As stunning as that is, tell me that series was in Monroe.
It was.
Okay. I was going to say that it would be even more stunning if the game
was in. Texas State leaves after this year. Correct?
And I think they've had their bags half packed for about the last 3 or 4 months. Yeah. I just don't think their head's really been in it athletically.
So Tech, we think, replaces Texas State?
Yeah, so that's those are some interesting interesting results. But again, it's just weekend one. There's
plenty more
to come. Women's golf, they are playing right now at the Magnolia Collegiate. They're actually playing today and tomorrow. That the course that they're playing is the Robert Trent Jones Magnolia Grove Crossings course in Mobile.
I've played there.
Have you?
Yeah.
Nice course, I hear.
Very nice course.
Yeah. 13-team field includes two other Sun Belt rivals, including South Alabama and James Madison. This is a layout that has featured events in the LPGA Tour and the Corn Ferry Tour. So Lady Eagles looking to continue their stellar play. They've got Louise Kivers is leading the team in overall scoring with a stroke average of just about one over par, just a tick over one over par. But one of the players on the team, and of course, you younger kids might not get the meaning of this, but Savannah Van Galen is her last name. Just makes me want to jump when I say
names. Oh, that names was like, good. I got that reference.
You did? Okay. So, yeah, Savannah Van Galen, one of the members on the team. Other people making the trip include Taylor Tribble, Liv Romer, and Alma Bettere.
Maybe you should get a tattoo of her name on your arm.
Well, we had – what was the one – what was the – Momoka Ando.
Yeah.
I thought was like the Star Wars name, right?
Hey, real quick, what were you more surprised at, the fact that Southern Miss lost the series this weekend or that they had 70,000 people in the Superdome to see the Savannah Bananas?
I would say more surprised that Southern Miss lost the series. I mean, Savannah Bananas is like insanely popular right now.
I didn't realize how popular that is.
They sell out almost every stadium they go to. So.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, and when you say Savannah Bananas, people think that it's just one team, but it's actually like an organization. They have several different teams, the firefighters, the clowns, the, you know, there's a whole bunch of different.
So they're not legitimate minor league baseball team.
No, most of these guys though do have baseball prowess. They just weren't big enough or strong enough necessarily to play, you know, professional baseball, but they don't want to hang it up yet. And
so now they're laughing all the way to the bank.
They are.
Yeah, one of them auditioned for American Idol and actually made it to Hollywood Week. I was watching American Idol. They're like, yeah, we're part of the Savannah Bananas.
they're kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
They sold out the Superdome.
Drew Brees was there.
Yeah, Drew Brees got in it back.
Crazy, isn't that? Isn't that crazy?
Hey, at least God bless them. They're working, Bob.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you enjoy going and doing that, God bless you. That's exactly right. All right, Jay Ladner, first part of that interview on the show tomorrow. Daniel Stewart will join us, and we will preview the midweek game against Nichols,
the Voodoo Masters,
Southern Miss
to the top. Sipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.